What do you say, Alan?
Yes, it sounds good.
Oh, good. All right. We have Alan Watt with us tonight. Tonight is Wednesday. It is the 7th of December in the year 2005. And I guess they've been hashing over... Okay, we're going to have to get past grandfather's chime here. I guess they've been hashing over Pearl Harbor. And probably, I haven't been listening to the news, but probably comparing it with 911, because that's what Henry Kissinger said. Probably within hours of 911, of the Holocaust in New York. They brought him out of a meeting. He was in some other country. And they brought him out of a meeting and asked him what he thought about it. And he said that it was the same thing that happened, similar to Pearl Harbor, and it needs to be treated the way we treated Pearl Harbor. And we knew, of course, immediately when he said that, he was talking about another war. I want to share our spiritual message tonight, folks. I got this in the mail from Jean. Listen to this real closely, okay? One evening, an old Cherokee told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves inside us all. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other is good. It is a joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." And the grandson thought about it for a minute. And then he asked his grandfather, "Well, which wolf wins, grandfather?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." And I think that is perfect. Alan, thank you for being here with us tonight.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, yeah.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I think the grandfather would have to explain it a few times for the young boy to remember it all, though.
Yeah, I know. I know, but I thought that was really a good way to put it, Alan. So, what's new and what do you want to talk about this evening?
I think, well, rather than talk about the general news, which is just our downloading for the time being, it's best to look at how we've arrived where we are. This very point and where it's going from here. And what's amazing me is how flippant so many people are today when it comes to their own privacy.
You say privacy, our word is privacy, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they're so used to using their convenience cards. They have different names for them at shops and stores. And debit cards for all their shopping and so on, and knowing that all the stuff is being recorded on databases all over the planet, basically, and so people know, including governments, of course, which is the main, and I talk about the real government, that's the one that we don't vote in, the one that runs all the real supercomputers and so on,
yeah.
And keeps all the data on everyone. All that stuff is filed away, so they have profiles on all your habits, your purchases, that kind of thing. And then people are going on the internet and putting everything on email, and they don't seem to mind. That's what's surprising to me. I mean, I can remember the days when people would have an uproar about some governmental intrusion into privacy.
Well,
it's almost like it's the normal thing, so they don't mind so much.
Yeah, well, they did it. They did it inch by inch, Alan. You know,
yes,
I mean,
they literally have conditioned the public
yes.
to that it's an open book, and everybody's got to have an open book, and there's no such thing as your own personal space where you can roam around in your own little area. This is the age where, when they wrote in Revelations that everything that was hidden would be screamed from the rooftops, in a sense they are. They're opening everybody's books, and of course they're keeping their own, the real controllers are keeping their own books closed to the public, but they expect the public to be wide open to them. And the public are acquiescing to this by silence and by using all of these devices, which are losing their, they're losing all their freedoms by using them. It's amazing to me how complacent they are about it all. It astounds me, to be honest.
Well, the people who know that it's going on, whenever I have a phone conversation with anybody, I just assume that the conversations are being at least taped.
Yes.
And I've certainly had enough evidence of that.
I know.
Yeah, with a personal situation, but it isn't that it doesn't bother me. Sometimes I talk to them.
Yeah.
Say I hope that our listeners are learning something, whatever, but I think what it is, Alan, is that people get a sense of what the hell are you going to do about it? You know, you talk to
What I always remember is so many books were published around the 50s and 60s and 70s about the agenda by people involved in the agenda. Such as Arthur Koestler, who wrote about his part for the United Nations, working in the think tanks, where he said his job was to find ways to target specific parts of the brain chemically, and the part that he was particularly interested in was that part which creates individualism. And he said this will be successful, and the proof will be shown when the public's ability for self-preservation is gone.
Is he the one that wrote The Ghost in the Machine?
That's right, yeah.
He also wrote The 13th Tribe.
He did, and lots of other books.
The thing that I wonder about, given that he's one of theirs, is even how accurate is his 13th Tribe book? I don't know. He seemed very...
he admitted that he worked for Lenin. He was an officer in the Russian army, and he was put in charge. He admits quite openly and proudly almost that he was put in charge of part of the extermination of the Ukrainians when they starved them to death, millions of them.
Millions, yes.
And he admitted that he, at the time, because he was full of the communist doctrine, believed that it had to be so because of historical necessity. That's how they phrase this type of thing.
Historical necessity. You mean the history that they're making?
That's right.
The history that they're making. That reminds me of that statement that was made by an undisclosed advisor of George Bush, remember?
Yeah.
Okay, will you share that with our listeners?
Oh, yeah, that was in the, I think it was in the Boston Globe.
Oh, it was all over the place, Alan, because when you told me you had heard it on the news, I did a search just for the one phrase, we are an empire now.
It's we are an empire now, and this was a senior advisor to Bush. Now, these guys are more important than the front men that we see on television.
Right.
But they're unelected, and someone trains them.
Non-elected.
He says, we are an empire now, and when we act, we create our own reality. And while you're studying that reality, judiciously as you will, we'll act again, creating other new realities, which you can study too.
We'll act
again. Things will sort out.
We'll act again. Read that last.
We're history's actors. And you, all of you, will be left just to study what we do. And so, in other words, this is what you can hear on the shortwave. All they're doing is studying and discussing what we think the front men are doing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's all the debates going on about, who's doing what,
yeah,
what legislators, what congressmen or senators are,
yeah,
voting a certain way. It's amazing to me the information that gets sent around by people that I feel really know better.
Some people are, yeah. And I think part of the problem is we're being given superheroes, like Albert Pike said, whenever the public need leaders, we supply them. And they make them into superheroes, so they must have more financial backing and have more access to information than anyone else. And when they say what we know, we follow them. And, of course, even the shortwave has got them, that made sure of that. And all they do, really, is discuss what they think the politicians are doing, what they're saying.
Right.
And it's just an act. It's all a front, you know. It's not the real government by any means. And in fact, Margaret Thatcher made a reference to that, and when she did the Massey Hall lecture in Canada about 91, and the title of the lecture was The New World Order. And most of the members who went there were from the CFR and Royal Institute of International Affairs. And she said all of us, all retired presidents and prime ministers of the British Commonwealth, have formed a super government. She said that we now know each other. We've been in politics long enough. We know all the leaders of state. And she says, we are another unelected government working behind the scenes. And that's a fact. That's what they do. They never retire. They never retire.
Yeah.
And there's a few generations of them. So that's the reality of things. The downloading nonsense that we're given on a daily basis is just a front to keep us chatting about nonsense.
Okay, so what should we chat about?
Well, that's what I'm saying, getting back to Kessler. Kessler was so proud of his part working for Lenin, and somehow, of course, showing you that it's all a farce, even the Cold War, he came straight over from communist Russia as a Russian officer and became a professor at New York and started teaching at New York at university there. And then he started working for the United Nations. This is during the Cold War. And lo and behold, he comes from exterminating one bunch of people to finding ways and working with scientists for the United Nations in New York of ways of lobotomizing the general population to make them more passive and easily controlled. And they said that was the first symptom of the fact they'd been successful, is when their ability for self-preservation is gone. And getting back to the very beginning of what we're talking about, when there's no righteous indignation, if no antennas go up as you're being corralled, then that part of your brain that is your self-preservation area has literally been destroyed. That's a symptom of it.
So as I listen to you, and listen as though I'm a listener of our conversation,
mm-hmm, yeah,
then my question is, well, what do you suggest that people do?
Well, for those where it's already been destroyed, I don't think there's any backup system to restore it.
Well, restore. There's nothing to restore.
There's nothing to restore.
So
all you can really do is work on those who know. And for the there's younger people who've been brought up with this cashless stuff, you know, they've never used money in their life, you know. And to them it's quite normal just pulling it out even for a candy bar, pulling out their card. And they've been brought up with computers, and they know everything's been monitored. So they're the real targets of it all, you know.
Yeah.
So to speak to those, I hope they still have some righteous indignation and start to change their ways, because when they lay out their whole life as an open book for tyrannical forces to monitor and master them, then they should really be worried, you know, of the kind of future they're going to be.
Are you talking about people who use the internet for research and send emails or information out, or
everything. They're banking on it. Everything.
Banking. Yeah. In other words, you're talking about more the people who are using it for all of those business processes.
Yeah. I mean, Brzezinski talked about the internet before it was given to the public. Zbigniew Brzezinski. And he said that, and this was back in the 60s, and he said a form of communication, international communication, will be given to the public, he said, that will totally revolutionize our whole way of doing things. And he said this will create a common culture amongst the public who will use it and adapt to it. He said, but in reality, it will give more control to the new governmental system coming into view.
Mm-hmm.
So he was talking about the internet. It had other functions pre-planned into it. They knew how the public would respond to it and adapt so quickly, because nothing on the planet is more adaptable than man. And Plato said that thousands of years ago. So they knew, they know this stuff.
And yet,
and sure enough, it's so convenient, and that's how everything is sold to the public. Everything is so convenient that we become lazy, and next thing you know, you're putting all your information out there to be garnished by the ones who are monitoring all of this. This is a world data recovery system. That's what it all is.
Yeah, you know, there are
there
are a few things that people can do. Some things, and I know that there's a lot more creativity out there than even, you know, that I'm going to mention here, but for example, using a debit card.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people use debit cards. Uh-huh. Every single purchase that they make is known, and it builds their dossier. And for me, it's a principle that what I do is any of my bills that are public anyway, you know, like the light bill, the electric, you know, and gas and phone, I go ahead and write a check for it.
Yeah.
But I take cash out of my checking account, and all of my groceries and any shopping that I have to do, hardware, drugstore, whatever, at the health food store, I use cash, because there's no trail that you're leaving. Mm-hmm. And that's just one little thing, Alan, but it's something.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've got to fight for it. You see, all the bigger things have already been taken from us, in a sense. So we've got to start taking it back little by little.
Little by little, yes.
To regain our own privacy, because, as I said, it's a natural instinct to have that type of privacy. It's a survival mechanism. And if it's not functioning, then something's wrong with the person. They should realize that. Something is wrong with them. It's going back even further, we can go back to the 1950s, where you remember The Next Million Years by Charles Galton Darwin.
Yep.
The physicist.
Yeah.
And grandson of Charles. And he said we are now in the process of creating a new. He says there have always been generations of slaves. He said every empire is founded on slavery. And it says, we are now in the process of creating a new, more sophisticated form of slavery. And you see, this is what all of this is about. It's total enslavement by a different means, where simply by changing the perception of what is happening, we lose the actual fact of what is happening. And the fact is, everyone's being corralled into a system where every purchase, every move they make, everything they say will ultimately be monitored under many guises for the good of all, etc. And it's like Orwell's 1984. They're going to bring us all to a place where we must all be politically correct, which will constantly be updated all the time and things added to it, just like the Soviet system. And we'll be in a prison within our own minds.
Well, you know,
if that
what?
Is even left alone, you know.
Remember, or was it Brave New World? In 1984, they had the proles. with the proles. And those people evidently weren't every...
That's a play on the proletariat.
Okay, but what these people, they seem to live less restricted than those who were in the system. In other words, they're every... they didn't have the microphones and cameras all over the place and people seeing, watching everything they were doing. They left them alone for the most part.
Yeah.
And in Brave New World, they had what they called the savages that didn't live in the system. And remember, a woman was having a baby, and somebody in the system said, "You mean she is actually... She is, because the babies were, what, test tube babies. What do you call them? In the
Oh, yeah, they were artificially.
Yeah.
But
the woman was shocked because that savage was carrying her child. Well, Alan, these books portray a future that they foresee, you know, according to their plan. So do you think that they foresee that there will always be a segment of the population that will not succumb and they will just leave them alone?
I think it's a yes and a no there. That they're doing all they can to make it impossible, little by little, for individuals to opt in any other direction but to join them. That's what they're doing at the moment.
Well, there are still people that are home gardening.
I'm not talking about that. You see, ultimately, they will bring in the cashless society completely. They might leave some outlets for using cash, but gradually even wither them down until you have no option. They don't like to forbid things. They simply make it almost impossible to take any alternative. That's generally what they do.
Well, and in
but
a cashless
at the moment,
society,
you still have the options.
Yeah, well, they're using computers.
Yeah.
And there are computer hackers. Alan, their program could be destroyed. I think it's important for us to see what they're seeing in the future and what they're planning for, but also to keep in mind that this plan has been underway for millennia, and they have never succeeded.
Yeah.
And I think it's important for us to keep this in our minds, that just because it's what they have planned for us doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Yeah, but it also means that people have to take what action they can.
That's right.
And what they are capable of doing within the present system to take back the little freedoms they've already given away.
Like growing your own food.
Your food,
one thing.
Start using the cash again, you know. Stop doing your banking on the internet. Because I kid you not, they've already got a... They've already got a refrigerator out that you can hook up to the internet, and it literally takes the barcodes of everything you put inside that fridge.
Oh, give me a break.
And it will warn you when you're low on something, and it has the capacity to order all that stuff from the store.
Oh.
Now, you realize that...
Oh, you mean then you walk in the grocery store and your groceries are waiting for you?
That's right. And I'll tell you, if they ever raid your home, and I mean this, one day they'll raid your home and they find a tin of beans there that was not on your list, you haven't bought it, your fridge didn't order it, they want to know where you got that. Who gave this to you? Because someone's using up their rations that was meant for them. Either that or there's an underground supply, a black market. And this is all scheduled to come down one day.
For our listeners that may be new listeners, in the website, in our website at sweetliberty.org, if you go into shadow government, I think it's in shadow government, you'll see an item titled The New Order of Barbarians, or you could put it in the search engine. And what Alan is talking about was discussed back in 1968 with a group of pediatric physicians in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And Alan, there's so much happening today that takes me back to, you know, what Dr. Day told these doctors. at that meeting. And the one thing that right now really is popping out, just because I'm thinking about it, he said the way that they would separate the extended family would be that they would begin to transfer people in large corporations to different states. And this would cause problems, because if the spouse had a real good job and they needed both of the incomes, then one of them wouldn't be able, the one would have to travel and commute by air.
Yeah.
And he said initially it will make it very easy. It'll be very easy to travel, so they won't feel so separated. But he said eventually air travel is going to become more and more and more difficult. And look at it today, Alan.
Yes.
And then you see behind that, there's so much more going on. The extended family includes aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, and the less that the people have of the family unit, the more they've lost, really. And I want to say this. I know you know this, but I don't think I've mentioned this on the air. I believe that it's important for children to spend time with their grandparents, and maybe that's because I'm a grandparent, and I know that I have so much to offer the children, but they don't want that connection. And when we discovered this, it was Effie, when she was going to make a visit here.
Mm-hmm.
She was senior, and she was going to get the senior discount. And they said, well, her return had to be within 30 days or she couldn't get the senior discount.
Mm-hmm.
And when Effie told me that, I said, Effie, why? What do they care how long you stay on a visit? And I said, you know what I think? Because maybe you're going to visit your family, and if they can shorten your stay by, restricting the time by the discount. And she called every other airline, and every single one of them had the policy, Alan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them. These are subtle, very subtle little things. But
yeah.
Once that we have a broader picture of what they're up to, you begin to see everything they do has a multiple. They kill a lot of birds with one stone.
Sure they do, yeah. And it's true enough, when you see something that's across the board, the same format, you know it had to be arranged at the top.
Yep.
And at all those companies where somebody was present at meetings to get all that agenda put into them and format it and then implement it.
Yeah.
So they didn't all arrive at the same conclusion independently.
Right, exactly. Well, and another example of that is the fact that no insurance company will cover their customers for flood. So it has to be the U.S. government, FEMA flood insurance.
Yes.
That's the national flood insurance. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at that and you say, well, so the insurance companies quit insuring people and it forces the issue. Same thing, Alan, with the amalgam filling in people.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's got, for any of our listeners that might not know, there's mercury, and it's a constantly drifting into the brain. Well, now the insurance companies, at least we got a letter from our dentist, that the insurance companies would not pay for the alternatives, that they will only pay for amalgam fillings. So if you're going to get fillings when you go to his office, you have to be ready to pay out of your pocket. It's a conspiracy, Alan. We have to take a break here. I did hear the, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, stay with us here with Alan Watt, and we'll be back with you. I'm not hearing any music.
I hear you.
Oh. Okay.
years ahead of the dominant media. FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Horses and men, horses and men are on the field. They didn't yield, many have fallen here. Never forget.
Take the Wednesday broadcast on a regular basis, and I told him today that I would do so. And unless anything comes up, I'll be with you on Wednesday nights, and of course Darren on Monday and Tuesday nights. So it is good to be back with you. I feel like a guest on this broadcast tonight, and I find that's interesting that I feel that way. But, of course, Darren is the one that is the host, has been the host since we went off the shortwave and the Internet, since I did on the 12th of August. I'm going to say good morning to Xavier, if he's listening. Xavier is one of our listeners in England. He lives in London, and he had told me that we have no idea how many listeners that we have over there in England. And Alan had mentioned this too. He's gotten calls from people in Australia, and for all of our listeners who are not in the U.S. of A., thank you for being with us. And I'll tell you, Alan, what really amazes me about Xavier, and it gives me he's the kind of people that give me hope. He's 30 years old, and he has been in the system, and he has awakened, Alan. And you know, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. You said a long time ago, but I've never forgotten it, that it isn't going to take too many people waking up to this to have the system collapse, because there aren't too many of them, and it appears that in every generation there are those holdouts, those people who are awake or who are awakening. And that's I hold on to that, knowing that with God, with the Creator, all things are possible.
Yeah, well, it's a matter of having those people in communication of some means or other with each other, because often, you know, when the people are in a...
Alan, excuse me.
Yeah?
Your voice isn't as loud as it was before.
Are
you not on a different phone or anything, are
no.
you?
No.
Okay.
No, when the people are in a stupor caused by the system, and they're downloading, as I call it, the thinking processes are shaped for them in such a way that they get sort of bound up, almost like string tied around them. Sometimes it just needs somebody who understands things and can put simple little statements out there that undoes all of this binding that we have. And those people have a gift, you see, to do so.
Yes, I know that. I hear that in our conversations when I'm talking with Xavier.
Yeah.
And he tries, you know, to share with his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs into the same walls that we all run into. Mm-hmm. But little by little, he will meet people in his age group. Who are awake, and that's what's been their nemesis all these years. Alan,
mm-hmm.
in The Ghost in the Machine,
yeah.
What was it, the person's soul? What was he referring to as the ghost in the machine?
The ghost in the machine, in this respect, is the animating life force, which is your individuality. You as a distinct individual entity, as opposed to everyone else.
Well, maybe that would be the soul then.
Everything. Yeah, yeah. They call it the animating principle.
Well, that's fine.
The soul, in that sense, you see, is supposedly in the occult. It is the animating principle.
Right.
So it's what makes you a distinct, unique you, as opposed to everyone else.
Right.
And what they said they would do, even at the Loyola meeting they had for the World Science meeting at Loyola University, was to do with brain chipping. They said once this has occurred, there'll be no such thing as individuality. That's what they're trying to destroy.
Yeah.
They want to create a
and as I said to you a long, long time ago when we were talking about this, the one thing that they do not take into account is the spiritual nature of man.
Well, they do, actually. Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah, they do. That's why they give us so many things that they call spiritual to suck us in, and it's always their agenda. So they know that man is always seeking, so they tend to supply the...
Well, you're talking about the religions.
The religions, even the New Age religion. I mean, it's at one time you could walk into major bookstores and you would see the usual standard religions there, a big aisle. Now it's a tiny little aisle for standard religions, and a massive aisle, or maybe more, for all the New Age books out there.
Oh, but isn't it amazing how much truth is in those New Age materials, Alan?
Well, that's what they give to suck you in, is the twist that twists your mind.
Right.
And that's the purpose of them. They're not put out there to help you.
Right.
They're put out there by exposing, which is an obvious truth. That's why you say, gee, I agree with this and I agree with that. They know the truth, since they've given us a fake reality for a long time. They know what we want to hear, and they say it. But then they bring in the twists, of course. And before you know it, you've walked into another maze of endless circles within circles. And so once again, you've just been disabled, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, something I've noticed about these New Age books,
mm-hmm.
with all the truth that they do present in them, they always talk about the New World Order, but it's going to be benevolent, and it's going to be peace in the world. And that's why so many people, the New World Order to them, because I can remember back in 91 when Poppy Bush, you know, kept saying the New World Order 1,000 times. I thought, oh my God, they're actually saying it out loud now. And I started talking to people, associates and friends, and just asking them, have you heard him talk about the New World Order? Yeah. Well, what does it mean to you? Well, that means that we're all going to hold hands around the world and that there's going to be world peace. So to them, the New World Order is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. That's right. And that's how they're spinning it.
Up.
In a sense, if they were successful, they would have their 1,000 years of peace. Because the master people will be unable to think for themselves. That's what they call peace.
Yeah, absence of resistance to their program.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To their system. That is their their definition of peace.
Hi, Jackie.
Yes.
Alan's voice is much, much lower.
It is.
So if we could get him to speak louder or something, I don't know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Nicholas. Alan?
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a whoa. Talk again.
Okay, I should really talk about the books for sale.
I know, but suddenly your voice is right up there again.
Oh. I guess someone's playing with the system.
I think so.
Well, I do get this all the time, you know.
Yes, because your voice had faded, and now it's right back there again. Thank you, Nicholas.
Okay. Yeah, I should mention these three books.
Yeah.
Because the last couple of shows I haven't mentioned them.
Yes, you should.
And these go along this format of trying to. The first two books are about the Masonic codes and so on that even the biggies haven't got in their books. They're trying to take over by putting out their own books. But I go through the history of Masonry, including the language that we use, because it's all encoded. It was created that way. And the third one, I go through the history of the money system, which is the beginning of this particular system, starting thousands of years ago, and how they took countries over through debt and hired armies and overthrew other countries that wouldn't come in. So these books are called Cutting Through, and there's three of them, 1, 2, and 3. They're $25 each.
Now,
and,
Alan, while you're talking, pretend that you're writing this down. In fact, I do is I write it down as I'm talking, and then people will they'll be able to get it.
Yes. So it's Cutting Through, 1, 2, and 3, and they're $25 each. And if you want them, send an international postal order from your post office. And it must be international, to Alan Watt, which is W-A-T-T.
And it's A-L-A-N.
Yep. And it's Site, S-I-T-E, 41, Box 4, Estaire, which is like Fred Estaire with an E at the beginning, E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Ontario, Canada, and the postal code is P for Peter, 3, E for Elizabeth, 4, N for Nora, 1. So that's Site 41, Box 4, Estaire, Ontario, P for Peter, 3, E for Elizabeth, 4, N for Nora, 1. And if you have any questions even on anything, you can give me a call. And my phone number is 705-695-0416. And I'll try and answer any questions that people have.
Yes.
As long as not pumping me for information to write their own books with, because I get a lot of that.
Well, you know what just occurred to me, Alan?
Uh-huh.
You know, when we used to do this, when we were on the shortwave, we had to do this for our shortwave listeners. All of our listeners tonight are on the Internet.
Yeah.
Or the majority of them have Internet. Some may be listening on satellite, but... your books are advertised in our resources section.
Yeah.
With the entire address and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So folks, if you didn't write it down and you're interested in getting Alan's books, and as Alan suggested also, urged actually, that if you're only going to get one, get the first one first. Because they're written in more or less an order, where the second one plays off the first and et cetera. And so you can go to the resources section at our website at sweetliberty.org and get all the information that Alan just gave you. And there's something else while we're kind of doing a commercial here. I've thought about this, Alan, in conversations with Xavier. He has downloaded all of the broadcasts that are in our archives and has listened to them. He's been in the website, started right from the beginning in the section, How Wars Are Made Behind the Scenes, and reading, because it's everything is in there chronologically. It's amazing to me, but what I got to thinking about, we've had so many broadcasts together. So much information that you've presented to our listeners. And Nicholas at WFAR, First Amendment Radio, is offering the whole year of 2004 on a CD, a disc, for $120. And when I think about that, what a wonderful, because we do have new listeners. And we have covered so much, Alan, actually in several years, but for somebody to be able to have 150 hours, which I figured that's what it figures out to, for $120, it's less than a dollar an hour for the broadcast. And so, folks, if you are new, if you haven't been a long-time listener, I really hope that you will take advantage of the offer. And if you want to call Nicholas, I believe the number to contact him is 559-781-3773, or you can contact him at the website at firstamendmentradio.com. And I just think it's a wonderful opportunity, don't you, Alan?
Yeah, it is. And we should tell the people, too, that, that this isn't for us. We don't get money from this.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. Like that goes to the
well, yeah.
Internet provider, is it, or?
I guess I should talk with Nicholas about this, because unless he doesn't have them archived, you know, earlier. Because we've been on WFAR for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. Time gets away from me, but he has earlier ones. I'd like to know so that we can let our listeners know that they can get them. And soon, 2005 will be available. I think it's great. It's just, it's exciting to me to know, Alan, that what we've talked about and the information that you have shared with us over this all this long time, that it's going to be available for other people.
Yeah.
And given that, you know, our shortwave audience was our really large audience, but it doesn't matter. The numbers, I don't believe, are important, because out of thousands, there may be that one gem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I've always thought this about Sweet Liberty, about the broadcast. I never advertised it. And I wondered sometimes why I didn't. Because, I get emails, oh, be sure to listen to so-and-so tonight on such-and-such. And I never did that. But I always just felt that people who were supposed to find this broadcast were going to find it.
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it isn't a show.
It's not a show, no.
Not a show.
And it's not a program because we're not programming. Maybe we'll call it deprogramming.
Yeah.
It's a deprogramming program. I don't know.
E-programming?
Yeah. We'd have to get a new word for it, really. But it certainly is a tutorial-type series.
Yes, it is. Tutorial?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yes, it is.
And it's a completely different way of looking at things from the conditioned way we've been trained to perceive things, see things.
You know, I can remember a long time ago when I very first got involved in this and began to wake up to it. And there's some things you just know innately. And I remember driving from Carlinville, Illinois, where I lived, to St. Louis one weekend to visit the children. And, oh, my God. Well, no, it wasn't just one weekend. Every time I drove in, there was highway repairs being done.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always at the same spot. And it was at a... it didn't even matter if it was in the middle of the afternoon. It was a place where traffic would jam.
Yeah.
And when I talked to Nicole about it, she goes, I just don't understand it, Mom. What could be taking them so long? I mean, why are they doing this? I said, to cause irritation. And she looked at me like I was nuts.
Yeah.
She says, oh, come on. And I said, Nicole, it is to cause irritation. And they are that subtle, aren't they, Alan?
Oh, yes, they are subtle.
Yeah, they are. But you know what? Both of my girls today... they know it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they see it, how long it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And the traffic that people have to sit in those cities.
Well, it's more than just that. There's a Masonic function going on here. Because every city is run Masonically. And I don't care what they call the different branches of Freemasonry, they're all one. And every year, the local councils give out their grants for road repairs and so on, even if they don't need to be done.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason why they keep digging up the same roads and refilling them and digging them up and refilling them. It's jobs for the boys, as it's called. It's payoffs for the contractors who own these companies. And it keeps their taxation system going as well. They can always up the taxes and see they need more. Because I've watched the same scenario in every place I've lived. They always have a stretch of road. They're always digging it up, filling it in, digging it up, filling it in. And it's an ongoing process, and it's all a Masonic con job. That's what it is. It's government contracts to the higher Masons who own these contracting companies, and this is the same worldwide. Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's how it works. Yeah. And that's why whenever these things go up... for publication, the notices, they'll always say that the certain bids or even the lowest bids will not necessarily be considered. And you're darn tootin', because before it was even published, they've already picked their very high Masonic companies that will get these jobs.
Right.
That's how it works. Yeah. Yeah. That's how it works. Jobs for the boys. Yeah. And Freemasonry is an incredible make work project. Is always on the go. Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that aspect of it.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
They actually make jobs for them.
That's right. That is right. The big contractors are all high Masons, and there's big money handed out by governments, right down to local governments, for all these jobs. And they just, as I say, I've watched a place in Sudbury. It's quite near me. And for the 3 years, all they did is tear up the same piece of road right downtown. Tear it up, fill it in, tear it up and fill it in, and tarmac it, and then tear it up again, and it's just nonstop. And that's your high Masonic system at work. That's what it's about. Jobs for the boys. Yeah.
And it's probably happening in all the little banana republics.
Yes.
All the little townships and counties all over this country.
I knew a guy who drove a truck in my old place where I lived. That was rural as well. And he was a member of the Orange Lodge. He was always drunk, and he was never stopped by the police because he's a Mason, you see. And but he told me, he says, oh yeah, it's non-stop. We're never short of work, he said. He says it's guaranteed by the Brotherhood. Yeah. Guaranteed. So, yeah, I've had this from different ones. And it's good when they're drunk because they tell you more, you know.
The movie that Glenn Ford played in, The Brotherhood.
Of the Bell. Mm-hmm.
The Brotherhood?
Of the Bell.
Oh, The Brotherhood of the Bell, yes.
Yeah.
And what just occurred to me as you were talking is they get, you know, all the jobs, and they're very successful financially and et cetera, et cetera. And one of these days, their due bill is called in.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And that movie portrayed it perfectly, didn't it, Alan?
Yeah, it did. Uh-huh. It did. What they didn't show you is the kickback system. And this works from the federal level right down to the local. For every contract that's given out there to a high Mason, he must give a kickback to the person who gave him the contract.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what this is, you know what I'm thinking about right now? Remember I told you about that stupid sewer system they've put in around here?
Yeah.
Well, it isn't a sewer system. It is really just a chain of new septic tanks, because there's no water. It's not a sewer. This is in Jackson Center, which the population is probably, oh, geez, Alan. Well, Millerton. It would be the Millerton area, but Russ Draper is the owner of the hardware in Millerton. I mean, we're talking a few hundred people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they've got a hardware, and they formed a sewer authority, the township did. And Russ Draper got on as head of the sewer authority, and they shoved the system on people. It's costing them $4,000 to connect. And then they have to pay $50 a month.
That's per household, yeah.
And Russ Draper, I was just told this today, Russ Draper, his hardware, sold every single septic tank and every foot of sewer that went in.
Yeah.
And he pushed this thing through in the face of terrible opposition. We have to leave here. We've just had our one-minute warning. Folks, thanks for being here with us tonight, and we will see you next Wednesday night. And, of course, Darren will be on Monday and Tuesday. And be sure to tune in to Sweet Liberty. And spend time, folks. Spend time at the website, because it's unlike most websites. There's not one agenda. It covers the entire web that we've been talking about. And I think it's a wonderful place for you to become informed. And Alan, thanks for being with us tonight.
It's a pleasure.
All right, good night, folks, and God bless you.
Notice. FirstAmendmentRadio.com is looking for new talent.